One of my first jobs was working at Circuit City, and I worked there selling cell phones back, you know, when cell phones started taking off. He asked me what I wanted to do at the time. I told him I wanted to be a doctor. And he said, well, you got to learn how to sell. He said, no matter what you do in life, attorney, doctor, whatever you do, you have a business, you have to learn how to sell. Selling is the key to every business, whether you recognize it or not. You are always in sales. I'm still a salesman. That's just what I do.
Welcome to the Business of Sales podcast. I'm your host, Morris Sims. Hey, do you ever feel like you're working harder than ever before, but your business and your income, well, they're just not growing like you want them to? Are you putting in more hours every week and seeing essentially the same results? Well, I can tell you, I've been there and I've done that. I learned how to go from 30 grand a year and 2 weeks off to almost $500,000 a year and 5 weeks off. We know how to help you grow your business, your time, and your income. This podcast is all about helping you grow. We have top salespeople and business owners sharing their knowledge with you every week, and a few times a month, well, I'm going to share specific growth strategies with you as well. So, hey, let's make it happen right now. Here's this week's episode. Chris Nahibi is our guest today on the Business of Sales, and I am really excited about having Chris with us because I tell you what, for a business person to have their focus on so many different things. I mean, Chris has got his fingers in a lot of different things, a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak. And I'm just dying to get him into our conversation here today because I know he's got stuff that's going to help you run your business more effectively and efficiently. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. I'm equally as excited. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Well, let's just jump right into it, my friend. I mean, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. CEO of Black Crown, which is a construction real estate kind of a business. You're an attorney and the chief, help me out here.
Chief Credit Officer of First Foundation Bank, a bank we started in October 2007 and is now publicly traded in NASDAQ. And it's been a wonderful journey and learning experience. And I still really don't know what I do either. So it's been a ride.
Well, you've done pretty well. If the bank's up over what, 10 billion now?
Yeah, it looks like we'll close out the end of this year, possibly Q1, at just around $10 billion.
That's fantastic. Chris, you know, as we've talked, our audience is probably made up majority of financial sales professionals. Tell me, what do you think? I mean, in a growing a business today in the financial services world, what do you think is most important to somebody out there trying to build up and grow their business today?
This question has been kind of one of those questions that I never really knew the answer to. And then life kind of gave me that answer over time. It wasn't like I just had this epiphany moment, but you know, relationships in my mind, and this is cliche, are the truest form of currency. And the easiest way I can tell you that is by example, is by showing you that nothing I've ever done has really been a transaction. It's always been getting to know people and getting to know their needs and really building these relationships that at the time I didn't know if they were going to go anywhere. It was just being a good person and listening. And those relationships over time have manifested themselves into so many wonderful opportunities.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there when you use the word listening, my friend. That to me builds a better relationship than most anything else in the entire world, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, so many people, especially with this online culture that we're seeing in a little bit of the younger generation, they want to tell you about all the things they've done. They want to tell you about how awesome they are. And I've always found that, frankly, what I've accomplished means nothing in the grand scheme of the world. I'd rather talk about, you know, what's going on with you and less about, you know, your business prowess. I want to know, like, are you happy? You know, how's your family? Do you have kids? Like, what's going on? And through those conversations where we're just getting to know one another, you really start to figure out more about what somebody needs. It's hard to give somebody advice about their position when you can't appreciate what that really entails.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I mean, the whole discovery conversation is so vitally important in any sales process for sure. And it just flows that way and you get there by listening. You're absolutely right. Back in the olden days, we were taught, oh yeah, go in there and sit down and talk about the pictures on the wall and the stuff on his desk and yada, yada, yada. It lacked somewhat of an essence of sincerity, if you will. How do you mm-hmm. feel about that?
Well, authenticity, man. I can't preach authenticity enough. And I really struggle in a conversation myself when I feel like somebody across the table from me isn't being authentic. And this is why, you know, it's shocking to me about the people focus so much on their accomplishments and all the things that they've done, where you'll walk away from a conversation with somebody who was legitimately honest with you, probably remembering how shockingly candid and honest they were versus the things they told you they did.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? The old story about the Prime Minister of England who had lunch with this lady and came back and, you know, somebody said, well, how was your lunch? And he said, man, I learned that he is the most important person in the world. And then later on, she had the chance to have lunch with Churchill and came back and she's, you know, same question. How was your lunch with Churchill? She said, I learned that I am the most important person in the world.
And that, I actually had not heard that one before, but yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. And I guess the Prime Minister was Chamberlain, but the key is Churchill focused on the individual, not on himself, and built a relationship. It's just incredible how well that works when you truly are authentically interested in the other person.
Yeah. And you know, you have a tremendous history as it relates to sales, and I'll ask you a question, and we didn't have this conversation and I don't know the answer. But how many times have you seen somebody hunting a transactional, like great white elephant, like that massive sale, and they're frustrated versus somebody who's just had, you know, little tiny wins here and there over the lifetime of their career and built up these relationships? I mean, you've seen the difference and you know which one wins ultimately.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I used to teach people all the time, one case is not going to make or break your career. It just isn't. I don't care how big it is. It's not going to make an entire career. And no matter how big it is, if you lost it, it's not going to kill an entire career. It's building those relationships and building that clientele base that brings long-term success, don't you think?
Yeah. And, you know, a great story about this is kind of our bank and how it started. And, you know, if you bear with me for a minute, I'll explain how that on the macro years later, you know, well over a decade at this point, that is manifested into this wonderful enterprise. So we started the bank in October 2007. There was, you know, I think at the time originally four or five employees, and we grew and scaled from there. We grew out of an existing wealth advisory firm. They had these high net worth clients, some of which were celebrities, some of which were, you know, people who had just built, you know, money over time. And those are relationships. We could have gone in and sold them products that we wanted to have at the bank, but instead we built the entire business off of their relationship, people they knew, people that make introductions to, this growing infrastructure. And the sale there is easy. You already know these people. We already have access to your financial information. You know, it's not a huge leap of faith for you to continue to trust us in other capacities.
Look, a quick break in the conversation because I got something for you. You want to grow your business and you don't want to have to work 60 or 80 hours a week to do it. Is that right? Well, I bet it is, because most of the folks that I talk to tell me they're working too much for too little in return. Would you like to tap into some of the great ideas and concepts that can help you grow your business and help you get off that plateau where, you know, everything seems to be the same? Same work, same people, same results? Well, we can help you do just that. Each week, we'll put a brief but practical idea in your inbox that you can use to help you grow and run your business more effectively and efficiently. All you have to do is go to www.morrissims.com/free-audio. You know how that works. It's all one word. www.morrissims.com/free-audio. When you do, just drop your email address in, and then we'll immediately give you a download of a free audio that you can listen to whenever you want to, whatever works best for you. This week's audio is a boatload of concepts and practical ideas on marketing and prospecting and creating that consistent stream of prospects for your business. Pause the business of sales and go to www.morrissims.com/free-audio and get your free audio download. Right now, let's get back to the show.
So we never actually had any outward marketing attempts. And to this day, I don't really know that we do a whole lot of outward, you know, consumer advertising of any shape or size. And now here we are, you know, 14, almost 15 years later, and our business has grown exponentially, far, far more than a lot of businesses have that were started at the same time, and some of which we've acquired over the years. So I've seen how those businesses started in 2007, you know, kind of the Great Recession, have wound up. And really, I look at our business model and I look at the key difference and I scratch my head sometimes thinking, is it truly relationships? Is it truly the fact that these people trust us and they speak well of us and we provide them great customer service and we constantly contact them and we actually care about their growth and success? And I don't really have anything else to point to.
I think you just made a wonderful point. You constantly contact them. You don't leave them out there. It's not like I'm going to go out and we're going to build a relationship in a couple of meetings and you're going to put some money into my system, whatever it is that I sell or help people with, and then you never hear from me again. And it's so sad how many times that happens.
And that goes back to authenticity, right? So if I'm on the receiving end of someone's services and someone's being authentic with me, when you call me next week, you're not calling me for the sale. You're calling me to see how I'm doing because we talked about some personal stuff. We talked about how life was. We connected. So if I'm sending, and I love doing this, and I know there's a little bit of a stigma to it. I love sending a quick text message. Hey, man, just checking in on you. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. And, yes.
And in this world, when people are so busy and time goes so fast, you know, having that message that's there, that's just a simple text that they know came from me, came from my mobile phone. And I know that people use lead generation systems and CRMs and all that fun stuff. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, I do that and I send messages. And I gotta be honest with the broadness of my day as far as different things that I have to deal with in the morning and the evening and at night and three different companies and my own personal investments. And we all have families. I still make it a point. And my number one focus throughout the day is my ability to have people access me. My mobile number's out there, my email's out there, clients, happy or sad, you know, angry, whatever they might be. I respond. I respond to almost every single one of them, except for a couple of people on social media who use expletive filled rages. But, you know, if you're reaching out and you want to get to me, access is there. But that's authenticity at its purest. You're not going to go through an assistant to get me. You're going to get me.
That's great, man. I tell you what, and that, again, you mentioned it. It's authenticity. You're authentic about that whole thing. It's not, you're not putting on airs. You're not sending text just to be sending text, and you're sending, you know, 100 of them. That, to me, is the way you build a relationship. It's through sincerity. That's how you have influence. That's how you persuade people to do what's right for them. Everything's based there, I think, Chris.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, so in the beginning, you know, when it came to friendship and understanding people, I wasn't very good at follow-up. I wasn't ever really good at remembering to, you know, contact people. And I had a really interesting experience at the midpoint of my career where I was working with somebody that I tremendously did not like. This person was an originator and he was a terrible, terrible human being for a number of reasons. But even I had to admit, he had some of the most impeccable follow-up and follow-through with clients that I had ever seen. So I decided that somebody who had this much of a connection and this much of an ability to resonate with his clients and spent so much of his personal time with them on what appeared to be a friendship basis, I clearly misunderstood the man. So we had a sit-down conversation. And I asked him about a meeting that he had the day before, and he pulled up all these notes. It was literally just a small little note binder that he kept with him at all times. And I'd seen him carry it 1,001 times. And most people use it for things they need to do. He used it to literally recap notes from every single meeting he had with the client. And then he would go into his iPhone and he would set a reminder to remind him to contact somebody. And he could always gauge how well he did as a person, how well he connected with that person by how well he remembered the information from the meeting without looking at his notes. And it sounds so simple and so like obvious, but I know so few people who actually do that. And his notes were not about this person's financial position.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely had any information there. And he sat in front of me and he broke this all down and why he did it. And I'll tell you right now, for a person that I didn't like, I misunderstood him.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest mistake was he didn't realize that your salesmanship outside the company is equally as important as your salesmanship inside the company.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And he lost his authenticity when he came to the company because in his mind, it was all about, you know, making people happy that were the clients and bringing them in. And everybody in the company was just supposed to, you know, foster that need when he didn't realize his frontline clients were also the employees of the company who he interacted with. But I learned a tremendous amount from him as it related to follow through and perception and genuineness. He wasn't genuine, and it came out on one side of the business. But if he was the same person he was with the clients that he was with the internal employees, there would have been nothing that would have stopped this man. Nothing.
Isn't that amazing? Again, it's back to, lately I saw it in some stuff from Earl Nightingale. You treat people like they're the most important people in the entire world, and it's going to build a relationship. You're going to be able to go further then than you ever could any other way.
Yeah, and it's easier that way, right? I mean, if someone really feels like you genuinely care, those conversations open up. And if you're in the insurance business, you've got to have some pretty morbid conversations sometimes. You know, if you're an attorney and you're trying to bring in more clients and you're in the trust business, you've got to have some pretty morbid conversations. You know, and as you start to get in the spiraling nature of how, you know, conversations go with people, you start to realize that, you know, that openness, that humanity that you share with one another, whether you like it or not, means they are more connected to you and you're more connected to them. And you can actually help them solve some of those problems. Those rubrics are not always easy. And that might not be a sale when you first, you know, into those conversations. I have cast off more business than I could possibly even recall at this point, because I know or knew someone that could do a better job than me or was a better fit for them. And that goes right back to the authenticity. That goes right back to doing what's right for them as a client and helping them as a person, because I care about them personally. But I can tell you without question, it's been worth it. I mean, my whole real estate brokerage started because people kept coming back to me saying, "Chris, I appreciate you've done X, Y, and Z for me. You know, can you do this for me? Can you help me, you know, sell my house, or can you help me buy this investment? I trust you." And I kept saying no, 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 and passing business off. And at some point, people were saying, "Look, I want to work with you. And if I'm not going to do it with you, then I really don't want to do this." And that was the light bulb moment for me, where I said, "I am literally passing up an opportunity to create a wonderful business here, because I've built this human capital over time."
Isn't that amazing? It's just absolutely incredible. I had a senior vice president mentor, just a great friend of mine, who one day looked at me and said, "Morris, you build relationship in the fact-finding part of any discussion you're having." We were talking about the sales process for selling insurance, and he says, "You know, it's that fact-finding is so important, because that's where you're going to build a relationship. That's where you're going to learn things about that client, that prospect, that probably nobody else knows. I mean, you're going to know things that nobody else has the entire picture on. His accountant knows his dollars and cents. His doctor knows how he's feeling, and, you know, those kind of things. But nobody has that entire picture except your life insurance agent. And they know more than most anybody else does about you and your situation." And that's where you begin to build that relationship. And then he took it, and he was so absolutely right. This is also how you build relationship with the people who work for you or with you, is by learning more about them and doing what we talked about initially, Chris, listening.
Yeah. And the sales cycle too, right? I think a lot of people have expectations of closing. And I think I was fed a lot by Wall Street in the late 80s, early 90s. And then you got into the mortgage business on the West Coast at the same time, where a lot of people were really looking at these transactional fast close, build up, you know, as much capital as they can mentality. And it was, you know, cold calling on the phones. But the people that I've seen that have been most successful over time, or over decades, not just, you know, a few years, have been those that really appreciated the maturation of a sales cycle. And each cycle that you go through with somebody where you're talking to them gives you more connection, more, you know, information, more of that data that you're tapping into that makes you that pinnacle person in their life, as a friend, as a confidant, as somebody who talks about those things. And the more you can prolong that experience, because you're just talking to somebody or you're building that rapport, the greater likelihood you have of that being a perpetual relationship. In the restaurant industry, that, you know, they say that you come back, you know, there's a 40% the first time chance that you'll come back. There's a 40% second time, third time. But after that third time, it goes well north of 70%. And it's a very similar concept. You know, if someone's doing business with you once, that's not necessarily a relationship. If someone talks to you a couple times, that's not necessarily a relationship. But at some point, no matter what business you're in, once you build that relationship and that rapport and that connection, they are your client. They are your friend. They are coming back to you consistently over time. And people need to stop focusing so much on the short-term benefit of getting, you know, I mean, I understand we all have to make money, but businesses aren't supposed to start fast and be lightning quick. There are some that do, and it's exceedingly rare. But the businesses that scale, that last, that are around for a long time, they take decades to build those books of business. That's why salespeople value those books so much.
Chris, I couldn't have said it better myself. It really boils down to the fact that someone who has already built trust with me or you, someone who always has already built up that trust factor, is much more likely to do business with me a second or third or fourth time than me going out and finding a stranger on the street and having to start building that trust from the ground up. That's who we are. That's who we are as human beings.
Yeah, you know, and I will say that when it comes down to, you know, exploring how deep that connection is, I'll say that there are times in a lot of the businesses that we work with where we're not the cheapest player in town. You know, we're not the most cost-effective person in town. But what you're going to get is a high-level value proposition. And the only way I can give you that high-level value proposition is I can appreciate your relationship. So not only can I build on that relationship, but I can ultimately give you better service because I know what your needs really, really are. You know, if I know that I can send you a text message throughout the middle of the day because we're that close, you're going to get a much more responsive connection with me than you are with somebody you just called and got to know, because they're going to send you an email. It might be a phone call. It might be, you know, in between their business hours. But if I can shoot you a text message, if I can reach out to you, if I can talk to your wife or, you know, or your spouse and get some information from you so that you don't have to worry about it, I'll know those things. And then all of a sudden that connection, that relationship just kicks everything into high gear. And you have a situation like we did at the bank where you're able to scale and push at this tremendous speed. But that speed is in retrospect. When we started, it was slow. It was tough. It was getting to know people. It was convincing them that, you know, during the height of the Great Recession that, you know, our banks weren't lending money anymore, that we had money to lend and that we were going to be around. But everybody was worried about banks failing back then. It was trust. It was trust they gave us and trust we gave back. And that's why we're here where we are today.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. And I think it holds true with any business that we're talking about, particularly in the world where we're talking about other people's money. It just makes all the sense in the world. Now, Chris, you do have so many irons in the fire. I got to ask you a couple of questions about just how you do it all. I mean, there's so many distractions and so much going on in everybody's world that has one iron in the fire. How do you manage your own operation? How do you manage your time and yourself within the time that we have allotted? How do you do all that? How do you stay efficient?
I have always been somebody who, I don't know if it's just maybe a slight degree of OCD. My wife thinks I'm crazy. If you want a short answer, I've always been a very, very disciplined person. So for me, if I set my mind to something, it's been easy for me to focus in and just kind of dial in and do things. And I'm willing to push myself harder and farther than most. I tell people all the time, I am not a smart person. I know if you were to look at, you know, kind of my background, you'd think, oh, this guy's smart. I just work harder. I'm exceedingly not that intelligent, but I work really, really, really hard at improving, and I've never given up on that. Over time, I've recognized that time management is critical to my ability to continue to do that, especially with a family and a young son. And I literally prioritize my son in a way that I think most entrepreneurs don't. I leave the office every day at 4 o'clock, if I can, get home, and I love to spend the last couple of hours a day with my son, get him in the bath, get him ready for bed. And then I'll go back to work, and I'll work some more. So there's a couple little cheat codes that I have and I'm happy to share. For those of you who don't know, I run a law firm which does predominantly a large amount of pro bono work and some casework from here and there. I have a real estate company which not only manages my own real estate, but also is a brokerage. We've franchised into Oklahoma right now, and we're looking at franchising next into Texas shortly. We're also doing some development projects in the Midwest. I'm also an executive at a publicly traded institution, the bank, and I've been blessed and that the board and the management team have been, you know, frankly, so giving and considerate to let me balance these tasks, because, you know, the perception could be that I could take away from my focus. And my ability to make sure that I can meet the needs of that job first and foremost has been tested time and time and time again, and I managed to do it. And my system is very simple. I need to divorce myself from managing the day-to-day operations of things to the extent that I can. So I need to know my own, you know, bandwidth. And for every person, that's going to be different. So what I've done is I've found people over time that I trusted, that I wanted to see grow and build in their career. My father helps me manage the law firm. He manages the calls coming in, everything else, and kind of the assignments, and gets things in a very detailed list for me so I can review it every single night and every single morning with him. I have the real estate company. My sister is the biggest help there. She manages all of my assets personally as far as real estate goes. She's a real estate broker, and she's also my property manager. But she also runs the real estate franchise business and has been very, you know, very, very effective and very, very focused on it. So in some ways, just like the sales process, being able to, you know, understand those relationships and build over time, I took the people around me that had interest in doing things that I loved, that I cared about, and put them in positions to help me grow and scale, and thus in turn help them grow and scale. But time management is super, super vital to doing that. So number one, I have to be communicative during off business hours, and that's okay. I don't mind doing it. It's frankly a pleasure to speak to your father and your sister and my wife and everybody else who helps out. They help my infrastructure, and in return, I pay them pretty well. And I've given them business opportunities that they may not have had. So it's been a very much a win-win. I make lists all the time, and I prioritize those lists really in categories for each business. And then I place them in a level of urgency, and the things that need to be done in a certain day, they will get done, and I will work, you know, relentlessly to do so. And I will admit that I don't typically sleep as much as most people do. I typically sleep somewhere between 4 and 5 hours a night. I've always essentially slept less. It's not a skill. It's actually something that's been torturing me my whole life. But the long story short is, when I left law school, I was working full time while I was in law school. When I left law school, I knew that I could wind down or I could carry the momentum forward. So I decided to carry the momentum forward and continue working. One of the things I think people don't know about me is I also, when I was working in underwriting years and years and years ago, and I was learning the multifamily commercial side of the business before I got into the banking side, I was working full time as an underwriter, and I was working at night at Nordstrom in customer service. And I think that blew people's minds. Here I am, you know, at the time with a law degree, you know, full-time job, and now I'm working at night in customer service at Nordstrom. And the reason why is I wanted to learn about fashion. I wanted to learn about clothes. I wanted to understand how retail worked. I still wish that in hindsight, I would have worked in the restaurant industry. I would love to understand more about how that industry worked. But it's just been this pushing of myself and never giving myself the excuse to slow down. We can all watch television on the couch. We can all take those breaks, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want to slow down.
Chris, you're a great, great study in success and how to make that all happen, and still at the same time, keep your focus on family. I'm just really proud to have had you on the Business of Sales today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we'll carry this relationship much farther as well.
Absolutely. No doubt about it, my friend. And for everybody else out there, you guys go out and make it a special week. Do some great and wonderful things, and I look forward to seeing you again next week on the Business of Sales.